that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Federal Civil Defense Administration presents
By the People.
Hello. My name's Dan Taylor. I'm a newspaper man, a roving reporter. My beat, the world. My assignment, total defense. Anything and everything that has to do with the defense of our nation, our people, our way of life, our property against disaster, any disaster, natural or man-made. I was up in Key City going over material with my editor, Bruce Wagner. I'm on the move a good deal of the time, and things move quickly in swift-moving times, so sometimes I miss out on vital changes.
You mean you didn't know about it?
No, I didn't, Bruce.
Well, the order was adopted at the end of 1957.
Well, that's when I started working for the Key City Chronicle, and you.
Well, I'll admit you've been pretty tied up. But things are beginning to shape up now. It's time you got with it. From here on in, Conelrad, designed primarily for use during enemy attack, is going to be used for natural disaster as well. And that, Dan, is a story. Dan, are you with me?
Oh, sure, of course. I was just thinking. You know, Bruce, I could go down to the FCC and do something on Conelrad and natural disaster, but...
You think Conelrad is so vital it deserves the whole treatment?
Exactly. Ask the man on the street what he considers a weapon for defense, personal defense. He'll say gun, knife, bayonet. Maybe he'll even think in slightly bigger terms. Missiles, air-to-air rockets, interceptor jets. But Conelrad? Just sound? A voice coming from his kitchen radio or his car radio? Now, I don't think one person in 1,000 would think of it that way.
And yet, in the last analysis, if we're ever up against that nuclear war, Conelrad will save more lives than any weapon that ever came off a drawing board. As you do that story on Conelrad, the whole story, Dan, this is one weapon for defense everyone can handle, including little children.
Conelrad. Plan for control of electromagnetic radiation. Conelrad for short. Devised by the broadcasting industry and the government working together to disseminate official information and civil defense instruction in times of emergency. The voice of Conelrad. Your weapon against enemy attack. The unleashed fury of nature. The dangers of radioactive fallout. Your ally to guide you to food, safety, shelter. To keep your morale high by keeping you in touch with facts, the true facts. I headed straight for Colorado Springs and NORAD, the North American Air Defense Command, the nerve center of communications for our air defense, fighting forces, and to our people, should the day ever come. I knew precisely where I was going, to the huge windowless combat operations center, the center of the vast communication system. There on the dais, with other observers watching the enormous plotting board, was the man I was looking for. Fred Albertson, the Federal Civil Defense Administration Attack Warning Officer.
Dan Taylor! Hey, you're getting to be a regular visitor these days. What now?
Conelrad, this time you're my feedline.
Well, you walked in at just the right moment. I'm taking a break. Jim Roberts over there is sitting in for me. Let's have some coffee, shall we? And I'll tell you everything you want to know. Dan, suppose we use the old question-and-answer techniques to get the ball rolling, and then we'll put the pieces together. How's that?
Great. And I'm not sparing you, Fred. I'm going to ask questions I think I know the answers to. But I want to be sure my facts are still right, see? Now, when attack is probable or imminent and the civil defense air raid warning is declared, how does the man on the street know it?
Two ways. If he's listening to a radio, the program is interrupted by the announcer who says, "We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in security and civil defense measures as requested by the United States government. This is a Conelrad radio alert," and so on.
Now, if he's not listening to the radio...
Well, he'll know because civil defense sirens or other warning devices will be blasting.
Now the man in the streets responds.
Yeah, he should immediately tune a standard AM radio to 640 or 1240 and listen for instructions from authorized officials as to civil actions to be taken. Rumors, conjectures, panic, they all go hand in hand. The truth and only the truth can set the wheels of defense going properly. And the source... Conelrad, the voice of official information and civil defense instruction in time of possible disaster.
Now, Fred, a lot of people have asked me why Conelrad. Why not just official announcements on regular radio wavelengths? Why 640 or 1240?
Because we learn from experience, Dan. See, we know from the past that enemy bombers can tune their direction finders to a broadcast station and beam right to their targets. Now, what good would civil defense instructions be if those very instructions help the enemy to spot the exact location of the city they wanted to attack?
Well, many people think it'd be safer if radio and TV went off the air completely.
Well, sure, radio and TV could go off the air completely, but think of the cost. Think of the millions of people who know catastrophe's imminent and don't know what to do. See, when attack threatens, vital civil defense information and instructions must be issued. And it can be done, Dan, as you know, through Conelrad. Even under actual attack, these stations can continue to operate without giving the enemy navigational aid.
Well, can you explain the switchover simply, Fred?
I can try. Now, when Conelrad goes into effect, all stations go off the air, AM, TV, and FM. The AM stations of the Conelrad system, and there are more than 1,200 privately owned stations involved, reduce power... and change their broadcasting frequency to 640 or 1240 kilocycles and then return to the air.
And the stations in cities join in a cluster of three or more.
That's right. The cluster broadcasts a single program. One station is on for only a few seconds, then another one picks it up and goes on. The Conelrad audience hears a continuous program with the volume varying according to distance. The switching from station to station makes a bomber direction finder swing so erratically it can't fix or home on a single station.
And it's been tested?
Oh, yes, by our own Air Force. It's foolproof. And so is the on-off method used in smaller communities. Of course, coverage in rural areas will be limited because of the reduction in transmitting power, and some radios will go dead, but we're working on that now, Dan, right now. Both the government and the broadcasting industry.
Oh, that's something I didn't know. Oh, another thing, Fred. When the Conelrad alert sounds, the station goes off the air for a short while, and people switch to 640 or 1240 on their regular AM sets. Now, what's the average period of silence?
Just as short as the engineers can make it. Takes a bit of doing to change broadcasting equipment, but they're getting it down finer all the time. Say, look, Dan, let's do this from the beginning, shall we? 1,200 privately owned radio stations have spent over $2 million on equipment since the Conelrad plan was developed. It's a big story. Let's start it this way, with a fleet of enemy bombers headed over the pole. Object, H-bomb attack on target cities. The captain of the lead bomber opens his sealed orders.
Well, Captain, the target, Chicago.
Chicago.
We will rendezvous with other bombers over H-317. Destination, United States.
This is it. The real thing. The fleet of bombers streaks through the Arctic skies, approaches the Dew Line, an electronic detective chain across the northern perimeter of the hemisphere, whose sole purpose is to spot approaching enemy aircraft and flash warnings so our defense can be activated and the civilian population warned. Time now is of the essence. And the Dew Line, 1,200 miles from us near the 70th parallel, is our furthest outpost for warning. At one of the Dew Line stations, Pete Rafferty gazes incredulously at the radar scope he's scanning.
Sam, that blip on the scope.
Sharp and clear. What a track. Hey, there's more. A flock of planes.
Yeah, heading due south. Around 450 knots at angle 45. Now, give me that phone. Keep your eyes peeled. This may be it. I gotta get through to NORAD.
The warning bells alert all fighter interceptor planes at the very moment Pete puts his call through to NORAD. We receive it here in the combat operations room, and our whole defense setup springs into action. Strategic Air Command, the military, the president, and the people through civil defense. Now, let's get back, shall we, back to the dais so you can see what I'm talking about.
We went back to the combat operations room, and Fred showed me his battery of phones.
With NORAD's declaration of an air defense emergency, CONELRAD goes into effect almost immediately. And NAWAS, the National Warning System, operated by the Federal Civil Defense Administration. I alert Battle Creek, FCDA regional offices, and in each of the 48 states, some 276 warning points throughout the nation.
And all by lifting that single phone.
Yes. The air divisions notify key CONELRAD stations by phone. CONELRAD goes into effect at the key stations. The other CONELRAD stations, who are constantly monitoring the key stations, pick it up and make appropriate announcements before leaving the air. Now, let's take your family or mine, for example. Let's take my wife, Helen. She happens to be sitting in the kitchen when the dew line report reaches NORAD and CONELRAD goes into effect. She's listening to music as she fixes our daughter's lunch.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in security and defense measures as requested by the United States government.
My wife is familiar with the public action signals with civil defense. She recognizes that the siren is blasting the alert signal. She tunes the radio to 1240 and waits for the voice of CONELRAD to come on. While she waits, Helen gets the food hamper and the extra blankets and clothing she's readied against this day. Our young daughter Betsy, home for a lunch hour, comes through the garden gate as the sirens blast. Helen sends up a silent prayer of thanks. A couple of minutes later, CONELRAD goes on the air.
This is CONELRAD. Here's a special bulletin to all residents of this area. The sirens you hear are sounding the alert signal. Hostile aircraft has been sighted over the Arctic and is heading toward this country. Civil defense authorities may order evacuation of this area within the next few minutes. Stay tuned to this station. Do not panic. Do not use your telephone. Follow instructions laid out by your local officials. Keep listening to this station for information.
Helen feeds our daughter as she waits for the next bulletin. Her car has been readied over the months against this day. Gas tank filled, parts checked. Her food supplies packed in a hamper are already in the car. She fills jugs with fresh water, gathers raincoats, rubbers, and extra blankets as she waits. The voice comes on again.
This is CONELRAD. This is James Riley, Civil Defense Coordinator for Morgantown. Several enemy bombers sighted over the Arctic have already been intercepted by our Air Force and destroyed. A few have pierced the dew line and may be heading this way. Civil defense is now sounding the alert signal, which means we are to evacuate the city. Follow the instructions and plans you have rehearsed. We repeat, this is CONELRAD. Evacuation of the city is underway. All residents of Morgantown follow evacuation instructions. There is plenty of time. Work quickly but efficiently. Pick up your neighbors if any have been assigned to ride with you. Go to your evacuation center if you do not have a car. Route 472 and 148 are open and cleared of traffic to facilitate evacuation north. This is CONELRAD. Civil Defense has ordered an evacuation for Morgantown.
Helen and Betsy pick up our next-door neighbor and her baby and head out of town. Morgantown is a prime target area. The women are frightened, sick at heart, normal reactions. But the car radio is on the CONELRAD station. And because of the Civil Defense National Warning System, they've over 2 hours of precious time between them and the enemy bombers. Time in which to get to safety for themselves and the children.
This is your CONELRAD station. This is James Riley, Civil Defense Coordinator for Morgantown. Traffic on Highway 7 has become heavy. All cars evacuating north, now near the Landover Turnpike, use alternate Route B. Switch to US 124, which is clear and moving rapidly. Traffic on Highway 7 has become heavy.
Morgantown is bombed. It is a near miss. Some property is destroyed. The people are safely evacuated. The enemy is wiped from the skies. But Morgantown is still not habitable.
Because of the heavy amount of radioactive fallout, residents of Morgantown are warned not to return home. Please stay at your relocation point until you're advised by radiological monitor over this CONELRAD station that it is safe for you to return. Fallout over Highway 7 is still heavy. Do not risk your life or the lives of those with you. Stay tuned to your CONELRAD station. You will receive bulletins at frequent intervals. This is Frank Elias, Radiological Monitoring Chief, Civil Defense, Morgantown.
This was Conorad. This was how it functioned. This was how it was geared to give the civil defense instructions and information that could mean the difference between life and death for the American people if an enemy should ever strike. I wound up my meeting with Fred Albertson. I left Colorado Springs and NORAD and headed for Washington and the FCC. I wanted more information on Conorad procedure in peacetime. And the man who knew the most about it was Leonard Stillman, an official of the Federal Communications Commission. He started to sketch me in.
Enemy attack from the sky in this atomic age is a pretty dreadful thought, Dan. But you've been active in civil defense. You know how bad natural disaster can be.
Yes, Leonard, I know. Fire, flood, volcano, hurricane. I've been through them all. And when your life, your family, and everything you've got is threatened, well, no one stops to think what the cause is. A tornado that kills your child is just as devastating as the latest nuclear warhead.
Exactly. And with Conorad set up for use in case of enemy attack, well, it occurred to the Weather Bureau that the same attention signal could be used for natural disaster, too. And the order was adopted at the end of 1957.
Which means?
That the FCC is enabling all broadcasting stations, AM, FM, and TV, during licensed hours, to use the Conorad attention signals on their regular frequencies, preparatory to the broadcast of Weather Bureau emergency warnings.
You mean there'll be no switchover to 640 or 1240 kilocycles? No broadcast equipment changes?
None at all. In addition to regular Weather Bureau network, the attack warning system can be used for fast, widespread dissemination of severe weather warnings issued by the U.S. Weather Bureau. It can be used for tornadoes, storms, damaging winds, flash floods, and hurricanes.
And once the warnings are broadcast?
At the moment of broadcast, city government agencies and the press will all be automatically informed. Civil defense can then take immediate action for help to the threatened areas.
And the direct civil defense tie-in?
Well, that's already been taken care of. The Weather Bureau has designated the meteorologist in charge of one station in every state to serve as state civil defense liaison representative. His job, to assist in resolving weather warning problems. Now, here's a list of the U.S. Weather Bureau stations and the meteorologists in charge. All warnings for a given area will always be limited to the wording of the originating Weather Bureau office.
That's to eliminate the possibility of conflicting warnings, of course.
Yes. All weather warnings are a Weather Bureau effort. Look, let's take a case in point. Suppose there's been bad weather off the Atlantic. Suppose a hurricane's built up at sea and suddenly changed its track. It's intensifying by the minute. In Washington, D.C., weathermen stood ready to advise the use of Conorad for the preservation of life and property in the area they serviced. Intensifying hurricanes, impending thunderstorms which could be tracked on radar, winds endangering life and property, snowstorms, these were some of the enemies Conorad was geared to fight. Then suddenly the warning and advice to use Conorad was issued by the Washington, D.C. office. The men waiting at local Weather Bureau offices in threatened states moved rapidly to put the Conorad service into operation by use of their local teletypewriter circuits.
This severe weather warning requires Conorad alerting procedures.
And the Conorad attention signal went into effect. There were two approved methods of procedure at Weather Bureau stations. Key radio stations in the Conorad system could be notified either by phone or by local Weather Bureau teletype. In New York City, the special teletype was used. The three bells, rung three times, alerted New York's four key stations, WOR, WCBS, WRCA, and WABC. In addition, it activated teletypes at the news services, special agencies of city government, and state and city civil defense. Radios in and around the area serviced by the U.S. Weather Bureau in New York City responded within minutes.
We interrupt this program to bring you an emergency weather warning from the U.S. Weather Bureau. This bulletin was issued at 4 p.m. May 14th for New Jersey, County of Cape May, Atlantic, Burlington, Monmouth, and Ocean counties. Hurricane Zeta has changed course and now threatens the New Jersey coast. Safety precautions should be started now. Storm tides will, in the course of storm, flood coastal lands to heights of 12 feet above normal tides. Destructive winds and high tides will begin at 2 a.m. May 15th, or shortly thereafter.
people within reach of this exceptionally high storm tides should evacuate immediately before rising waters cut off escape. This is an emergency weather warning for New Jersey County of Cape May, Atlantic, Burlington, Monmouth, and Ocean counties, issued by the U.S. Weather Bureau, 4 p.m., May 14th. Further warnings will be broadcast at frequent intervals.
No changeover to weather frequencies is necessary for the Conelrad alert. In New York City, the four key Conelrad stations are constantly monitored by smaller stations. Within seconds, they too broadcast the warnings verbatim as issued by the Weather Bureau. State warning systems spread the alert quickly. At Civil Defense Headquarters in New Jersey and New York, officials made swift plans.
Here you are, Joe. Conelrad alerting teletype message. United States Weather Bureau just went out over the air.
Yeah, this is going to take a lot of doing. Flood and high tides in the early hours of the morning. It'll have to be a house-to-house check right away. Radio's not enough. Everyone's got to be contacted personally. This is a job for Civil Defense.
Now, bulletins were issued by the U.S. Weather Bureau at frequent intervals. Warned by the Weather Bureau, aided by civil defense workers and local agencies of government, the residents of the stricken area were helped immeasurably. Lives were saved, property losses held at a minimum. And this, Dan, is Conelrad in peacetime.
Another arm of defense against disaster. Another weapon against nature on the rampage. Another means of safeguarding people, free people, living in a democracy.
That government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
The Federal Convention of 1787 took 4 months to draft our American Constitution, but it was another 3 years before all the arguments were decided and the 13th state voted for the Constitution. During the heated debates, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and John Jay wrote very strong arguments in favor of it in a series of essays called the Federalist Papers. Finally, it was up to the state legislatures to decide the issue. And to show the strong feelings of the times, only 3 voted for it unanimously. The Constitution barely passed in the state of New York, where the vote was 30-28. Rhode Island was the last to vote in favor of it, but there it had only the slim majority of 34-32. By only a few votes did we have a nation consisting of 13 states. Yes, Hamilton, Madison, and Jay won their debates, and they did so not only for themselves, but for the future. We today are that future.
By the People is produced and directed by Chick Vinson. The script was written by Judith S. Bublik. This is Lon Clark as Dan Taylor. Heard with me in the cast were Brett Morrison, Mason Adams, and Louis Van Ruten.
By the People has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service. ¶¶